Good evening, everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and oh, I have a very exciting paradigm shifter with me today. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and we've been cruising through some of the changes in the collective that are either being reflected or even created by some of our guests. And our wonderful guest, Dr. Kalaman, is a Mayan expert, I would say. Would you say that, Dr. Kalaman?
I would say that I'm a Mayan calendar expert.
A Mayan calendar expert.
It's a little bit different because there are other people that are better at Mayan culture. And of course, if you want to be a Mayan expert, you might as well ask the Maya themselves, the contemporary Maya. But I do look upon myself as a Mayan calendar expert.
Yes. Well, I'm so excited that you're here. We replayed your last interview not very long ago, and several people said how interesting it was. But the request was, can we get him back on to talk about the fact that we're moving into the seventh day? Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about the Mayan calendar, of course, I'm wondering, some people have said to me, at 2012, all of a sudden, all the zombies are coming forward to eat our brains, right? So, hey, is that true? Is it true or not?
Yes, you know, what does happen to me is that, you know, if I go to some place and, you know, the dentist or the barber or whatever, and they ask me, what do you do? Well, I write books. About what? Well, I write about the Mayan calendar. And then people will ask me, oh, is it really true what they are saying? I don't know who they are, but I think what they are saying is that December 21, 2012, out of the blue, for whatever reasons, the zombies will come to eat our brains, the extraterrestrials will send an asteroid to the Earth, or whatever. And it's really not very much, really doesn't have a lot to do with the Mayan calendar and the way it's designed. And so, you know, either if I had the time, I would give some kind of a short form lecture, or I will just I would just say, no, it's not true what they are saying.
Actually, it's just a description about levels of consciousness as it's that's coming up through the human beingness, right? Isn't it? Isn't that it? It's just a description.
That is absolutely what I have been saying, and not only saying as if it's some kind of an idea that I cherish. No, I think, you know, I think I've provided a tremendous amount of evidence and a systematic studies to show that paradigm shifts in thinking, in acting of human beings are correlated, in fact, with these shift points in the Mayan calendar. And that's why it's so exciting, because it also allows us then, if we can see all this evidence clearly and assimilated, it also gives us some idea of what kind of a paradigm shift we have ahead of us. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like it's not just a paradigm shift we're talking about. It's sort of a structure, a calendar to understand paradigm shifts. It's almost like a higher level than a paradigm shift, since I'm referring here to your show about paradigm shifters. This is the ultimate time structure or the universe of how and when paradigm shifts occur.
Now, are they propelled by or driven by universal frequencies or the shifting of frequencies? Or by God, or by, you know, what are they created by?
I would say both, because you know, we have for a long time we have tended to separate out God as something separate from the creation, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And yes, it certainly is these shift points. They are, in fact, points in the waves. You know, you're talking about frequencies of the universe, and what frequencies of what is an obvious question that a scientist would ask. And what I'm saying here is that there are waveforms which are serving to evolve human consciousness. And it's a bigger thing than just human consciousness. It's
because
really,
we're actually a part of the wave, aren't we? I mean, doesn't the wave move through us?
Yes, it moves through us, or we move with it, you might say. We resonate with it. We absorb its information in such a way that when there is a shift point in these waves, we tend to create a paradigm shift. But then, this is not just some kind of a mechanical operation, because in the way I have elucidated it, this goes back to what many ancient peoples of our planet talked about as the tree of life, which is sort of the, you might say, the chief executive of God, if I'm correct in my understanding.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Well, something like that. God, or the divine is probably a better word, has a plan of how to evolve consciousness through the universe. And this plan seems to be mediated by this huge cross that exists on many levels of the universe and brings about shifts in energies that we then absorb and are in resonance with. And at the appropriate time points in this structure, we will tend to create paradigm shifts. We will start to change our ways of being, change our ways of thinking, and even acting.
Well, that's really... that helps clear it up. I was just thinking maybe that's that kind of paradigm that got us walking on our hind legs instead of all fours. But then that's a whole other question, isn't it?
No, it's not a whole other question. It's exactly that thing as well. Because, you know, mostly when I started this, went into the Mayan calendar in 1993, full time, so to speak, I made the most focus on history and how our ways of thinking and relating to religions and these things, how that has changed with the shift points of the Mayan calendar. But last year, it's about a year from now, I published a new book called The Purposeful Universe, and that's all about biological evolution. And where you can see that all of evolution, not only the evolution of the mind that has taken place in more recent millennia, but also the evolution of the species is a function of the Mayan calendar. So that's a book that I tend to hold it as very, very fascinating. And the people that read it, sort of, it really brings everything together.
It's called The Purposeful Universe?
It's called The Purposeful Universe. Mm-hmm. And it's about how did we come into exist in the first place? How did the biological species come into existence? And it's the same thing there. It's the tree of life that is sending out waves that is influencing, that is creating the universe, and at the same time creating the consciousness of the universe that brings about all these changes, level after change. And we are now coming to some kind of a point of fulfillment of a long creation process of the universe.
Oh, so we have been in creation as partially described by the Mayan reflections of these changes, is that right?
Yes, I would say so.
So, and now we're entering, now I'm thinking of a couple of my listeners who've been asking about this, so now I'm going, okay, what does it mean we're entering the seventh day on November the 3rd? What does that mean, and can we celebrate it? What does it look like to you? What does it feel like?
Yeah, well, I need to provide a background for this to be meaningful. In other words, a short form of of how the Mayan calendar describes the evolution of the universe. And the basic metaphor that the ancient Maya would use is the nine-storied pyramid. if you go to sites in Mexico or Guatemala today, you will find these ancient pyramids in many, many, many sites. And some of the most famous of those five sites, like Chichen Itza, like Tikal, Palenque, Uxmal, and several others, they have in their central location, like the center of the whole site, a pyramid that is built in nine stages, nine foundations, you might say. And what this is a metaphor for the nine basic levels of evolution, or nine basic levels of consciousness that the universe goes through. And you might say, as you climb one of these pyramids, that's by itself is sort of a metaphor for going through the entire climb to higher and higher levels of consciousness in the universe. So that's the basic structure. There are nine levels of evolution in the universe. Nine, and each of these levels of evolution, they are brought into existence through a wave. Now
the size of each of these periods of evolution is ever diminishing, as the pyramid suggests, right?
Yes, exactly like that. So it means that every time you climb to one level, the time period that it takes to develop that time, that level of of consciousness, is 20 times shorter. So this is the reason we experience a speed up of time, an acceleration of time, as we now coming to the fulfillment of the creation of the universe. And so then each of them is developed through a wave that has a certain frequency. Now, basically, these waves are comprised by 13 different energies. And these 13 different energies, you might talk about them as seven peaks and six valleys to describe the wave.
Okay.
Or you might talk about them as seven periods of light and six periods of darkness in between those, which is the same thing, I think it's pretty clear, it's the same thing as what the Bible talks about. God created the world in 7 days and six nights, which is really then a statement about the nature of these waves that God is creating the world through. So,
but the seventh day is a day of rest. Does this mean that we're going into the seventh day and we get to rest now?
No, I don't. Well, there's something to that. Let me. That's a good question. There is something to that, because the seventh day has a somewhat different quality. There's some particular characters of the seventh day. Now, what this means is that there are nine levels of evolution, each of which is developed through a sequence of 13 energies, each of which, in other words, is developed through a sequence of 7 days and six intermediate nights. Now, what we're coming to now as of November 3rd is the seventh day of the eighth waves. So they're all, they're nine waves, and each one of them goes through these 7 days and six nights.
Okay. And so this is the eighth wave.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And and there we're coming to something. Now, are we to rest? No, I don't think we will get to rest.
Oh, darn.
Maybe God rests. Maybe God will get to rest for this particular level. Because there is something clear there that as long as the wave is oscillating, it doesn't really stabilize the field of consciousness to the planet. That, you know, it's sort of, it goes back and forth because there are peaks and valleys. There are the It's forward and it's rest, and it's forward and it's rest. But once you get to the seventh day, this field that the particular wave is bringing into the planet and that we human beings are in resonance with, it gets locked into position, and it won't change back to these intermediate valleys of the wave, so to speak. So what happened is that we will sort of complete the fundament of the eighth level of the pyramid. It's still one level to go.
Does the eighth level have a specific personality or specific consciousness that it's emphasizing?
Yes. That's the next important question. You hit right on it. So they all have, each of these waves, they of course, they're not separate, so to speak. It's all a big plan, you might say, it's an entirety. The plan is for the whole of the cosmic pyramid to be built. Now, the eighth wave then, and let me backtrack a little bit to put that in the perspective of the other waves. So basically, we should go back to the beginning of the sixth wave. Now, this wave is probably the most famous of the waves. It usually goes by the name of the long count.
Okay.
And I usually talk about it as the national underworld, or possibly the national fundaments. It sort of refers to these fundaments of the pyramid. And that wave started 5,125 years ago.
Hmm.
And in other words, it goes back to 3,114 BC. And it created a completely new world. If you go back to that time, you will find that's the time when the first, you might say, higher patriarchal civilizations emerged on this planet. That was in Egypt, it was in Sumer, it was in the Indus Valley in present-day Pakistan, which are sort of the seeding points for the earliest higher civilizations of our planet. And that whole wave, it came to, as it spread its influence all over the world, step by step, wave by wave, it brought a completely new world into existence, a world of writing, a world of building, a world of nations, a world of male dominance, a world of several other things.
So we're still living on that as our fundamental consciousness,
yes,
eh?
It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. Because we're standing on it. It provides us one of the fundaments, as you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a sense, that's where we're coming from. You might say that in terms of how this infected our ways of thinking, you might say that this was a wave that favored the left brain half. In other words, it favored rational thought. It favored Western dominance in the world. And and of course, there are good sides to this. This is how the fundament for all the modern technological conveniences was created.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of that mindset. But then you might say, if you look upon it in another way, well, it was also a time of great separations between people, between in societies, but also between different nations. And so this sort of duality between the two brain hemisphere that it brought into existence, it also created all kinds of conflicts, suppression of all the feminine aspects of the human being, and its suppression of all the colonialized people of the world, and so forth. So it's always when you look in hindsight on history based on the Mayan calendar, you will tend to be able to see that there was some good side to it, and there was something that, from our perspective, we would see as less desirable.
Well, it would enhance the drive for enslavement, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. So that was a time when people were enslaved in large parts of the world, you might say it was only when the next wave started, the seventh wave, which is 1755, that there is somewhat of a less dominance coming in. But this wave, it sort of starts the Industrial Revolution. It's also the time of the American Revolution. The United States of America is a product of the seventh wave. Uh-huh. And so it sort of completely embodies the ideals of that particular wave.
So it's like putting things in our own hands, the beginning of that, hey?
Yeah, that's true. It's sort of breaking up with all these kind of monarchic rules that had been in, especially in Europe, but all over the world until then. It's changed the whole world into basically a republican in a sense as non-monarchic. I'm not talking about the parties here in the U.S., but I'm talking about the whole ideal of a republic came to dominate the world through this. And it certainly brought a tremendous industrial change so that the many conveniences, as we would call them, were created on a mass scale. Mm-hmm. But the other side of this is that how was that? How could people suddenly shift into focusing so much on the material reality, on production and consumption and all that? Well, it happened because a new shift in consciousness sort of detached people more or less completely from the divine source. People became almost totally, for a long time, insensitive to the spiritual energies that exist in the universe. So that's the seventh wave.
That was because of the dominance of the science and machinery and stuff?
Well, that's one way of putting it. But in my view, it's the other way around. Hmm. It is that there is a field of consciousness that blinded us, that created a new paradigm of science. Science is just a reflection of these consciousness fields, and industry is another reflection of these consciousness fields.
So it's kind of like it directs the human mind in those directions, yeah?
Exactly. Hmm. It does so by putting the emphasis on different, sending the light on different parts of our brain. That's exactly how it works.
How interesting, hey? I hadn't heard of it that way. It's helpful.
Yeah, it is. So it means that, you know, we tend to think that we are the human beings, that we are the creators of everything. We make all these inventions and stuff like that. But when you start to see it in the perspective of the Mayan calendar and how these waves are altering our consciousness, you will see that these inventions that we thought were our own intelligent, brilliant ideas, they're actually originating from the divine source who has changed our consciousness according to a time plan of the Mayan calendar that creates these inventions.
It's like ideas rise in more than one mind at a time.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking about Da Vinci, so he was a little out of his wave, wasn't he?
Well, you know, Da Vinci was ahead of his time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much level of complexity I should go into here to describe his position. I don't think I should, because we are beginning here. Mm-hmm. I should like to continue and talk about then the eighth wave.
Perfect.
That came on top of the seventh wave. And strictly speaking, that wave started in early 1999.
Oh, not long ago.
Not that long ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are pre-waves. that are preparing the ground for these things. And so I can, you know, mentioning Da Vinci, he was at the beginning of a pre-wave for these, all the big industrialization that came in the mid 1700s. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing here. 1999, yes, there was a big shift. That's when the world really started to create a cyber civilization, you might say. Mm-hmm. But there was pre-waves to that, and you may go back 13 years. Then you have the harmonic convergence and a couple of, you know, the introduction of personal computers and these kind of things. So there are pre-waves, but I want to go into the eighth wave and look upon this. Because, as I mentioned, we're standing on a fundament that is created, that created a patriarchal civilization of dominance, the left brain dominance of the sixth wave. Now, the eighth wave is opposite or complementary, depending on how you want to look upon it. So the eighth wave is a wave that has favored the right brain half, the intuitive aspect of the human mind.
Oh, great.
And the imaginary, the visual aspects rather than the word, so to speak. It's the synthetic, holistic mind rather than the analytical mind that has been favored. Mm-hmm. And so you might say this is a time when it's a time where we are thinking in we have hardly noticed it because it's, or we have noticed it, but the change is so big, you know. I think to begin with, the whole thing of the cyber civilization that now exists, 1.9 billion people have access to internet, and I think it's 7% that are Facebook users or something like that.
Wow.
I mean, these are large parts of that, and it's created a completely new way of human beings to relating amongst themselves and to reality.
Hmm.
And one of the thing is the shift that takes place from the written word to the visual image. This is the whole internet cyber civilization is a reflection of this. It's going, you know, people no longer just want to read words. They want to see YouTube interviews and films, and the whole computer thing is really partly an expression of this shift over to the right brain half.
Hmm.
And you might say it's in a sense it's also a holistic world, because the right brain half, it's holistic thinking rather than analytically. So that's the origin of how so many people, in a sense, have been connected into a new framework through this cyber civilization. Now, then you might say there are other aspects of this particular wave. One is that I mentioned how on the seventh wave, all sensitivity to the spiritual energies were lost. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but roughly speaking, yes. If you go back 50 years ago, you know, you would be thrown into a mental asylum if you talked about sensing energies in the woods or anything like that.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
That is for sure. Mm-hmm. It's not a joke. You would actually have been through. If you heard, you know, somebody speaking through you, you would also be thrown into a mental asylum.
Schizophrenic.
Yeah. And now that's a great channeler, people will say, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a tremendous shift there that has taken place. And it's also a reemergence of the feminine aspect in big groups of people, and of course it's you know, it's mostly seen in women, a new self-worth, I think, is the way, and this comes out of this sort of the fact that the kind of mind and the kind of consciousness that this wave has generated is one that honors the holistic thinking, honors the intuition, honors the all of these things. And so that's why there are so many women that have been part of this new spirituality, because it sort of has resonating, this new wave has created a stronger resonance with them than men in general, I would
Although
say.
A lot of men are raising kids these days, too. I think there's the rising of the femininity in that, too.
That's right. I mean, men are also honoring their feminine sides in a new way, because we're all, regardless of gender, we're all in resonance with these things. And then, you know, I mentioned that the sixth wave, the patriarchal wave, it was a wave of that favored the Western Hemisphere. And, it started with the Western European countries and all the colonial empires that they were creating, and then basically it went over to the United States. That was sort of an offspring of that mentality. But what the eighth wave has done, and I predicted this very, very early, is that it has shifted over so that the economic engines of the world is increasingly becoming the large Eastern nations of China, India, and of course, since a long time, Japan. But it's sort of shifting there, so that on what we are facing then is the end to this Western dominance and a new balance. And
what you're saying is actually the economic political doodah is actually a wave coming through the mind rather than the government, yeah.
Yeah, we're all, the governments and we ourselves are all under the influence. I shouldn't say that we're under equal influence of these, because people are different and they are differently sensitive and resonating with these different waves. You know, I already mentioned that women have been more sensitive, more absorbing of this new incoming wave. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, we're all under its influence. And this is not in our control. It's not in my control. It's not in Obama's control. It's not in anybody else's control. Mm-hmm. What's in our control maybe is to what extent we want to flow with the incoming energies, that we want to absorb them, express them, and so forth. But we can't change the fact that they are coming according to this schedule.
Right.
So coming back to that, is that what does November 3rd of this year then mean? Well, it means that on the cosmic level, energy-wise, there will be a balancing taking place between the two complementary or oppositional, depending on your perspective, the two waves that have favored the left brain half and right brain half. And this is sort of a balancing that takes place in the cosmos. It's not that the East will now dominate. It's not that the women will now start to dominate the men. It's only that the Western dominance will come to an end. The male dominance will come to an end. The rational dominance will come to an end. And the two aspects here of our ways of being will instead be balanced. And then, I think I've presented the background from a cosmic perspective. Mm-hmm. And then it will be up to us to what extent we want to be co-creators of this process, help the new energies to manifest among us, be expression of it, and so forth. But
Well, on several levels, can I ask you, first of all, how this is impacting you right now as a person? And the other one is, what can we do to co-create? How can we all join it? And is it a celebration time?
Yeah, I think it is. How does it influence me? Personally, I think it's been a process that it's almost the opposite of what I'm talking about. And I think I'm starting to honor my own male sides more than before.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm just honestly talking about my own personal process here.
Appreciate that.
But I may have been coming from a more feminine perspective to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have compared to the majority of men. So now for me it's been a different kind of a balancing. And it's also that, you know, my particular profession or mission here is really, I think it still remains very much to keep a knowledge of a lot of things that are rationally based, to sort of introduce a kind of rationality in this whole field of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Many people are into these days. So that's just saying that that's sort of what I feel it means to me personally.
And can I just throw this other question in, which is, you did say a while back that there are 20, something like, if I'm wrong with the number, 20 frequencies coming in or 20 energies. Are you able to feel, the shifting energies? That's the simplest part of the question. You don't need to detail 20.
Well, yes, what I probably talked about then are the 20-day signs of the Mayan calendar, which are the daily energies.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Do I sense them? Well, to some extent. But that has to do also with where I am located. Mm-hmm. Because there is this division line between the Eastern and Western hemispheres through Europe. And when I lived there, I was very sensitive to these shifting energies. And here in Seattle, which is sort of far west, I'm less sensitive. It's less distinct, the shifts between energies here. But I do sense these energies. I live according to them to a large extent.
Oh, good. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, it's probably keeping you getting more and more sensitive, like a lot of the rest of us are learning too.
Yes, I think so. But anyway, I should. So there are many ways, of course, anyone, depending on individual tastes and so forth, for people to celebrate these shifts or be part of it. And personally, I will be going also with a bunch of American friends. We will actually be going to Sweden for this particular shift point.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And why there? Is it because you can feel the energies more, or is it just home?
I don't know how it happened. It wasn't like I laid it out logically. It just happened that way.
Well, if we're in the eighth, you don't need to know, do you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's not... Things will start to move, especially in the ninth wave, things will start to move so quickly that there's not time to understand things.
Oh, good.
I don't think.
I like that.
But okay, good, yeah. But anyway, I can tell you what we'll be doing. There's a guy there who's setting up a big group of people, and we will be doing a process which is all about balancing the male and the female energies in ourselves. And we will be doing, I think, the first day there, it's a weekend, 6th and 7th, the first day the two genders will be doing their processes separately. There will be sort of apologizing to the opposite gender, if you like.
Oh, wow.
So I think the males will be both to the extent that they individually, but also being part of the collective maleness, will be apologizing for all the violence and suppression that women have been subjected to. And the women will be apologizing for all the manipulations that they take back, that kind of a thing. And to what extent? Something like that. I know that's part of the whole process. And then there will be a day when we will be, just having mutual acknowledgments and sort of having ceremonies to welcome the new balance and express this balance and rather than just sort of the things of the past, but
like
more
building a vortex to receive it all, really.
Yes, yes. So. So if you, this is not just happening there, it will be happening in many parts of the world, and it's many places I've heard people have, gathered to celebrate the return of the feminine in one way or another, and it just happened to happen on these particular dates.
Oh, my.
Because the energies are out there, and people sense that. And
so, even if they don't know the Mayan system,
right,
they're still experiencing it.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. And it may not happen exactly on those dates, but many things have happened, are happening on those particular days. And I should add, then, this is important, that for those that want to look into this and be part of it and maybe have their own ideas about what kind of ceremonies that would be the most positive and constructive, there is a Facebook page called Tree of Life Celebration. And we also have that as a internet page, which is very rudimentary, treeoflifecelebration.com. And this is where I'm referring people who wants to look into this and be part of it.
That's wonderful. treeoflifecelebration.com. Also, you talked about co-creation. We're moving into the ninth wave. The seventh wave, to me, means we're the seventh day is kind of digesting and really embodying all that came through the eighth wave. Is that right?
I would put it exactly like that. That's a great way of saying it.
So then we're preparing to move into the ninth wave. And what I've heard you say on different interviews is, which are really excellent, people need to check those out, looking up YouTube interviews with Dr. Kalaman. You'll love them. But is it like to co-create, is it to embody, is it to call in the frequencies, to really pay attention to that? And if we don't participate, do we end up having more wars and battles? Because what you're talking about is a lot about like having to release our identities and being perched on having a lot of money or not having a lot of money, perched on those kinds of identities. People are going to have to drop a lot of that, are they not?
I would think so. Now, what co-creation, as I understand it, is really about redesigning our inner landscapes. That is what is in the power of everyone to do.
That's a really good way of putting it, redefining our inner landscapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and redesigning them in such a way that they reflect these incoming energies. Because that's a way to be a co-creator with the divine plan. And so since I think it's quite clear that these shift points, the fundamental shift points, are aligned with the Mayan calendar, that means we're talking about here co-creating with the divine plan, co-creating with the Mayan calendar. And that's my way of talking about it, of course. And but it's the inner landscape. If we can do processes, spiritual healing processes in one way or another, ceremonies that that are aligned with these shifts, then I think we truly are co-creators with the divine.
And now, so we be intentional. You know, you speak about intentions as being a part of this time as well, right?
Yes, yes. I think we always have to begin with the intention. And intention takes us a long way, but then it doesn't do it all. We'll have to do some changes in our landscapes inside. Now, of course, what we may expect is that if that kind of a co-creation takes place in our inner selves, then that will ultimately, sooner or later, be reflected in the external world. As all paradigm shifts, we will eventually see them in the external world, outside of ourselves, in our social structures, in our economic systems, and so forth. But, you know, I wouldn't go out and say to people, you should change this system here or something like that. I don't, partly because I don't really have the competence to it, but I would feel more confident of us just changing ourselves because then we would know maybe that it's all aligned with the divine plan, and that's really what I see as the reason for being a co-creator.
So you're talking about intentional oneness or intentional unity amongst all beings.
Yes.
So are you celebrating? Are you excited? Do you get excited about this sort of thing, or are you busy just doing your learning? You're learning so much all the time.
Well, it varies. There are certain things I suddenly get excited about. I'm excited about this process we'll be doing on the 6th or 7th of November. Mm-hmm. And of course, like everyone else, it's just there are times when you're just doing your work because you have to do your work, and you go on like that, and it goes up and down.
I'm sure.
I suppose you recognize the same thing.
Now, and yes, I sure do. And now the other thing is that you're making me feel very hopeful about peace on the planet. If these waves are coming, it can actually, of course they are coming, and I know that sometimes I really perceive them, you know, I feel them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It can bring peace in war situations, can't it? Because it comes up through many individuals. What would you say about all that?
Well, you know, I think I certainly share that view, and I share the view that the plan is such for us no longer to eventually, when the ninth wave is completed, for us to truly be in a state of oneness with ourselves, with God. And when that is reflected on the outside, it would mean that all these wars and conflicts that have been generated by the dualist frames of minds of lower waves, it will supersede it, it will transcend it. A oneness consciousness would be sort of on top of all the separating frameworks of mind that the lower levels have created.
Oh, this is very exciting, isn't it?
It is. it's a good plan.
And I know you can't do predictions, and you shouldn't really, but how long is that ninth wave, like meaning when is that finished, when is it completed its cycle?
I would say that it's October 28, 2011. In other words, a year from now. Which is very soon.
Very fast, hey?
It's very fast. And then the whole, there's another question then. How long time does this take to land in the people? How long will it take until it will be absorbed?
Yes.
Etc. And I can't answer that. I what the plan I'm describing is the plan on the level of the cosmos, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say that earlier, you know, if you go back a few thousand years, you could see the shifts very, very clearly because the waves were so long in relation to human lifetimes that when a new long such wave came in, people had time to absorb it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But now the frequency is so high that they're very short in relation to a human lifetime, and so it takes much, much more for people to absorb them and to in that sense, especially if they don't know what is going on and so forth. So that's our current situation, and I don't quite know how this will be playing out.
Well, no one can, but it seems like it requires a lot of our releasing in order to be able to receive the waves. That's kind of how I see it. Yes?
Yes, I agree, absolutely.
So when you talk about shifting your inner landscape, a lot of it is like what you said, the apologies to the feminine, the apologies to the masculine, and the recognition of our own shadow, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Tell about your books. I've really enjoyed this, and I'd sure like to talk to you again in a month or two or three or whenever you've got time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure my paradigm-shifting listenership will love to hear from you again as they work their way through it. So talk about your books and recommendations.
Yeah. Well, basically, in English language, I have three books. And the first one is called Solving the Greatest Mystery of Our Time, the Mayan Calendar, and it came in 2001. And then the second one came in 2004. It's called The Transformation of Consciousness. No, sorry, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been translated to 15 languages, I think.
Great.
And that's, in a sense, it is the core book of my ideas, the one. It's a little bit obsolete, and I'm now, especially when it comes to, these particular years that we are in now. It was written in 2004, and now I'm starting to look at the possibility of updating the information so that it gets into 2011 and 12. But then there is a third book, The Purposeful Universe, that came last year, and which has a different quality. It's much more scientific. It's about physics, quantum theory, biology, and it provides a theory that explains how we are all species of the planet, the human being included, are really products of wave forms that have been created by the cosmic tree of life.
Wow, this is great.
And it's not denying evolution. It's just not just any longer the kind of Darwinist evolution. It is saying that evolution is a fact, and we can see that it follows exactly the Mayan calendar, and evolution is an intentional result of a plan of the divine.
Yay.
So it's both creationist and evolutionist in the way that these two have been battling against each other for a long time.
And it's dependent on waves and frequencies, which I think is logical. To me, it's very logical, that whole thing.
Yes.
How exciting.
So it also allows for a soul to exist. We're not just a piece of matter that happened to be able to speak or something like that.
Right.
No, it all begins with like a soul package, a waveform that lands in biological matter and develops this body and so forth.
How wonderful. And I have to say goodbye, even though I don't want to, because our time is up. I hope we can talk to you again, Dr. Kellerman.
Yeah.
And we'll all do some form of intentional focus or maybe even celebration around the 3rd of November and catch the wave.
I hope so. So either get together with others to do some ceremony or do some kind of the intention. If you're an individual, the intention goes a long way if you really embrace it and see that this is a true, authentic expression of yourself.
Thank you so much. And I'll say good evening and we'll talk again. Thank you so much for listening. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, catch the wave, everyone. We have a lot to learn. It's not about zombies. It's about our own growth out of those consciousnesses, isn't it? Thank you so much, Dr. Kellerman.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.